My assignment tonight was the subject, how to get our heart right with God. Well, I have taken this, and I'm going to look at it in two different ways. I'm going to look at it from two different angles, and not only are we going to talk about how to get our heart right with God, but we're also going to talk about how to keep our heart right with God, or how to maintain our heart right with God, because as Christians, as people, as humans, we all have a tendency to backslide. We're supposed to follow our heart because it is with the heart that we are told that that is our direction and what causes us to do the things that we do. But Jeremiah 17:9 said that the heart is deceitful and beyond repair. So the heart must be trained and the heart must be instructed and the heart must know the right things to do or the heart will lead us in the wrong direction. But the heart does play a part when we are revived by God or to keep ourselves in a position of maintenance. Our verse today, to start this off, will come from Isaiah, the 57th chapter, and verse 15. Isaiah 57 and 15 says, "For thus saith the High and the Holy One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and the holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and an humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." So what Isaiah here is saying is that if we want to get our heart right with God, and if we want to keep our heart right with God, then we must have a spirit that is contrite and humble, because he said that God will revive the spirit of the humble and the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah talks here, and he mentions that God is interested. God demands a contrite spirit. He demands an humble spirit. He speaks of a will that is totally and completely surrendered to God. And when these conditions are met, then things are right and God is able to revive the spirit or revive the heart or to maintain the heart as it's supposed to be. So we're going to talk tonight of two things. And of these two things, they are found both in the 57th chapter of Isaiah. We're going to talk about the spirit of humility, and we're going to talk about the heart of contrition. Contrition or contrite simply means feeling or expressing regret for an offense. In other words, one that is contrite realizes they have made mistakes, they realize they are in error, and they realize that they need something more than they are able to provide for themselves. So we're going to speak about the spirit of the humble and for the spirit and the heart of the contrite. Let us go to Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. David, King David, in his writings, said that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despair. So even David, a man after God's own heart, spoke of two things in Psalms 51 in his writings about the two things that God appreciates and the two things that God demands. And these sacrifices, again, it's the same thing that Isaiah spoke of, a broken and a contrite heart, a broken spirit, which means that we are to give, to surrender completely to God Almighty. David at this time was at odds with God when he wrote this, realizing that it was important that God revive his heart, that God make his heart right, which is the reason that he wrote these words. Now, we might say at this point that pride is the exact opposite of humility and contrition. Because humility and contrition are things that God expects of a human being, but humanly pride is something that is the exact opposite of this. So these two things do not attract God. This does not attract God as humility and contrition. We are all, even as David, in a position where we need the strength of God, we need the power of God, we need to be revived by God, we need to be helped in our Christianity. I'm going to give you a whole bunch of adjectives here that kind of explains how Christianity in our country, in our world, and when I say Christianity, I'm speaking of all of those people that claim to be Christians, that follow the name of Christ and claim to be members of a body of Christ. Of course, we realize that many of these are denominations, and on many of these, it is they are only Christ-like in and sometimes in the way they refer to themselves. But Christians as a whole in this country and the world have become very complacent. They have become very lethargic. They have become self-righteous in many cases. They have become accusatory in some ways. Christians have become lazy. They have become apathetic. In many cases, Christians, or those that call themselves Christians, have become self-centered. We know all this. We see all this, and we see the results of this. And we know that Satan has done his job well, and he has taken the focus of Christians off of the goals that they are to be searching for. Some Christians, or those that call themselves Christians, refer to themselves as Christians, are completely disobedient in the way that they do what God has told them to do. They have become sinful. Many times they do not follow the teachings of God. Sometimes they are Christian in name only. And these people, even as David and even as Isaiah, realize that there needs to be a revival in our life. There needs to be a revival in the church of Christ and those who refer to themselves as Christians. And this is done through contrition and a Holy Spirit. Before one can completely surrender himself to God, which is what we are supposed to do, we must become broken and realize that our personal sin has put us in a state of hopelessness, has put us in a state where we cannot save ourselves. When an individual realizes how hopeless his state is, then the will is broken, the heart is broken, and that is when an individual reach out to God to be revitalized. And contrition is the key in a revival. To get the heart right and to maintain the heart in the way that only God can do, that we must do. One thing we need to understand is that only God can bring revival, and only man can hinder this revival. So let's talk for a little while how to get our hearts right with God and how to keep our hearts right with God according to the 57th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah says that the first thing it is required is an humble spirit. God hates human pride. God hates the men that would try to do everything themselves, that feel that they are self-sufficient, to feel that they are self-centered, those that feel that they do not need God. God hates this haughty, prideful attitude of man, and instead expects a very humble spirit from humanity. God can work with an humble spirit. God cannot work with a prideful, haughty, arrogant spirit that so many seem to have in Christianity. The spirit of man is the attitude that man has. The attitude of man, or the spirit of man, is the energy and the motivation of a man. It is what causes him to do what he does. It's what causes him to behave as he behaves. It is what directs the man. It is the part of man that we see. So the attitude of man is what directs an individual. To give you one that is not humble, is not showing the correct spirit to God, but an arrogant, haughty spirit is something that is the spirit of man and not the spirit of God, because God expects his people to be humble. Elijah, 1 Kings, Elijah, we know, was a man that was taken out of the world by a whirlwind. He did not have to die. He had been pleasing in the eyes of God. He was a prophet of God. He had done what God had told him to do. And when it came time for Elijah to go, he was just pulled up into heaven. He did not have to suffer death. His assistant was a man by the name of Elisha. And when Elisha saw Elijah being pulled up into the whirlwind, he asked at that time, he said, "I would like to have a double portion of whatever you have, Elijah. I would like a double portion of that." And he's talking about the spirit of Elijah. Elijah was a man of God. Elijah was a man of humility. Elijah was a man whose attitude was positive, whose attitude was good. It was an attitude that God liked. It was an attitude that God rewarded. And Elisha said, "I admire you. I not only want the attitude that you have, but I want a double portion of this attitude," realizing that this uniqueness of Elijah, if it can be done with what he had, then the double portion, of course, would be much better. If a little was good, then double was better, and he was right. And these were the words that Elisha spoke about Elijah. "I want his attitude. I want his characteristics and his personality. I want to be able to deal with people like he does. but dumb. An humble spirit is an attitude that has been brought under control of the Holy Spirit. An humble attitude, and the attitude that God expects for His people to have, is an attitude that does what God tells us to do and does what God expects of us. When a Christian has backslidden, they often develop bad attitudes. And the bad attitude, or one that has this type of personality, needs the revival of God and needs to make an attitude that is more humility than it is pretension and pride. Our attitude, our personalities, direct our service to God and to man. Our attitude dictates how we behave and how we feel. It dictates the way we live. It dictates what we say. It dictates the way we treat people, both in the church and in the world. Our attitude controls our life. Our attitude is what the world sees. And it shows it in the church, in our service to God, and in our service in the world. The attitude of an individual is displayed in every area of his life. And if that attitude is good, then that attitude shows up everywhere and we are known by the good things that we do. If the attitude is bad, then of course this shows up everywhere as well. So our attitude defines us as to who we are. Let me give you an example. If you've got a child that has a bad attitude at home, if you've got a child that is disrespectful to his parents at home, you can know assuredly that this child will show that same disrespect to his teachers and to those that are in authority over him. And if he does not grow up out of this bad attitude, does not change this bad attitude, when he becomes an adult, he will still be disrespectful to all of those around him, to the law, to the laws of man, and also to the laws of God. Bad attitudes must be adjusted. Bad attitudes is not what God expects of us. He expects us to have an humble attitude so that He's able to work with us. God loves humility. God expects humility in His people. He hates a haughty spirit. And a right heart is an humble heart. And an humble heart can be revived. And an humble heart can get right with God, and this can be maintained. Isaiah then goes on in this 57th chapter, and he speaks of a contrite heart. Again, a contrite heart is one that realizes that we are in error and that we cannot save ourselves and that we need help. It's realizing our failure and our error as human beings. The heart of man is the seat of his emotions, and as we've already spoke about this, the heart of man is what causes a man to do right, or what causes a man to be wrong. But the heart of man is what causes things to happen. And as we read earlier, it can be deceitful and it can be wrong. But the heart of man is the seat of the emotion. It is with the heart that he feels. But oftentimes our feelings or our emotions will override obedience to God. There is a way that we can emotionally serve God that is in disobedience to what God has told us to do. We have a feeling for everything, but sometimes these feelings, if misdirected or improperly directed, can cause us to do the wrong things in the eyes of God. So the heart of man is what causes a man that wants to do right, but we need more than just emotions. We must have the truths of the Bible too. Christians have a feel for everything these days, but not always for the obedience to God. Before a revival can be given to God, and before God can change our hearts and make our hearts right or maintain this rightness, a Christian must have a contrite heart. And a contrite heart, according to the words of David, this is something that God will not despise. In fact, this is something that God demands and expects out of His people. Because we must, when we approach God, we must realize our fallacies, and we must realize our failures, and we must realize how very frail we are as human beings. If a Christian is to truly confess sin and get right with God, he will be contrite in his heart. Confession is not just words on our lips. It is not just good intention. But confession involves a heart that realizes that it needs help, a heart that realizes that if we are in a hopeless state, knowing that we need help and depending on God to give this. And when we can approach God with a contrite heart, realizing that we are wrong and we are frail, the fallacies that we have, then the Bible tells us that God is willing and ready and able to help us. When we get to the place in our life where we are able to see our sins as God sees our sins, then we realize just how serious and how terrible sin is. The words of God will convict us if we have the heart that is focusing in the right way for the right reasons. To truly confess our sins to God is to ask Him to help us, to let Him know that we need Him, that we realize that He is the only one that can save us, and it would stir our emotions then to godly action. Too many Christians, or so-called Christians, or those that profess some form of Christianity, too many of those treat sins in a way that it is not important. They minimize sin. We can't be sinful all week and then be good Christians on Sunday and be satisfactory to God. Christian living is a 24/7, and we cannot be distracted by the things of the world. If the heart is truly contrite and the heart truly realizes the need for God, then Isaiah said that God will help those of a humble spirit and a contrite heart. You know, it's a lot easier for us to worry about the sins and to see the seriousness of sins in others, but we don't always see our own sins as being bad. Apostle Peter, in Luke 22, when he had sinned against Christ and he had spoken against him, and Christ told him, "You will deny me," and Peter said, "No, I won't," and then Peter denied him. When Jesus looked at the Apostle Peter, that is all it took to convict Peter of the sin and the terrible, terrible thing that he had done that caused him to run out and to weep bitterly and to repent. And Christians ought to have the same type heart, so that just a look out of the Word of God would condemn the things that they are doing and make them realize how broke we are without God, and to give us the ability to approach God with an humble spirit and a contrite heart. Isaiah 57 and 15 makes it very clear that God will revive us, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Are we truly humble under the power of God? Do we truly believe in the omnipotence of the Almighty God? Are we truly humble as we stand in the presence as Christians before God? Is our heart truly contrite? Do we feel the necessity of repentance? Do we realize how very sinful and debased that we are as humanity, so that we can allow God to come into us, into our heart, and to revive us, to get our heart right with God, and then to maintain it? If we can meet these two conditions, God promises to revive the humble spirit and the contrite heart. This will make our heart right with God, and it will maintain our heart. It is mandatory that our heart is right with God before we can ever be converted, but it is equally important that after conversion that we maintain this rightful heart condition and treat God and obey God and do what He has told us to do. So the lesson is, or the assignment is your heart right with God? How to make our heart right with God, and how to maintain this rightness of the heart? And the Bible tells us it can be done with humility and contrition. And that's all I got. Let's have a song of invitation. If we can help you in any way, come forward as we sing.